Bibles with me, please, and open to the wonderful words of life in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We have been studying the Gospel of John for some time now, and last Sunday we began looking at a rather difficult dialogue between Jesus and the Pharisees. I had a seminary professor tell me once when we were studying Greek and we were in the Gospels and we were looking at some of these hard interactions between Jesus and the Pharisees, he said something that stuck with me over the years. He said, "Sometimes we find that we are far more like the Pharisees than any of us would care to admit." I mean, it's true. None of us wants to be a Pharisee. None of you wants to be called a Pharisee. But as we study their words and as we study this dialogue, it's good if this is convicting, because we can easily fall into the sin that the Pharisees are guilty of here. Now I'm going to read John 8, 12 through 20, but this morning we are really going to focus in on what Jesus says concerning the Pharisees in verse 15. As always, I encourage you to follow along. Our text is John 8, 12 to 20, focusing in on verse 15, and the title of the message this morning is Judging According to the Flesh. John 8, beginning at verse 12, this is the Word of God. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.' The Pharisees therefore said to him, 'You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true.' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me.' Then they said to him, 'Where is your Father?' Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also.' These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come." Now in these verses, the Spirit of God is showing us, on the one hand, the response of the Pharisees to Jesus Christ and the gospel, and on the other hand, Christ's response to them. The gospel is in verse 12. Jesus, you recall, was speaking in the temple, and as part of that, he said to the people, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." You want a great gospel verse to use in evangelism? Here it is. And in this verse, Jesus is communicating four truths of the gospel. One is that we live in a world of darkness. Is that true? We do. And we might not like that, but here, darkness is a metaphor for sin, immorality, injustice, corruption, pretty much all the bad that you could say about this world. We live in a world of darkness. And second truth is that the world needs light. This world desperately needs one who is not immoral, one who is not corrupt, one who is not unrighteous, one who can be trusted, one who could give us wisdom and guidance and truth and even righteousness, one who could deliver us out of the darkness and into light. Well, the third most obvious truth is that Jesus Christ is that light for this dark world. Jesus is the light, the Savior sent by the Father to deliver us out of darkness into light. And then the fourth great gospel truth in this verse is that whoever follows Jesus Christ, that means whoever listens to him and follows what he says by faith, that person will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now we've covered that verse, and I would say a wise response might be something like, "Lord, what do you mean?" Or, "Lord, help us to follow you." Or even if you don't believe what Jesus says here, a wise response might be, "Lord, help my unbelief." But look at how the Pharisees respond. This is the epitome of folly. Verse 13. "The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Now, we looked last week at where they got this. Do you remember? They got this from Jesus, somebody said. Way to go. They got this from Jesus himself. What the Pharisees did here in their foolishness is they took completely out of context something that Jesus said back in John 5. We won't go through all that again. Jesus in John 5 was testifying concerning himself that he is equal with God the Father. Is Jesus equal with God the Father? Yes, he is. In fact, Jesus had said in that context, John 5, 24, that he is so equal with the Father that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father, and whoever doesn't honor the Son as the Father is guilty of dishonoring the Father. And in that context, Jesus said, and if I am the only one testifying this concerning myself, then my testimony is not true, meaning, but I am not the only one testifying this. And he called forth John the Baptist, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, his works, Moses, and others. The Pharisees very foolishly took Jesus' words in John 5, took them out of context, twisted them, and here, they're trying to discredit Jesus Christ with his own words. Very foolish to do. People still do it to this day. But today, we're going to get at the heart that's behind that. I mean, what would cause anyone to take Christ's words out of context and twist them? What would cause anyone to reject Jesus Christ and the gospel at all, whether believer or unbeliever? Because you know what? Believers also can take the words of Jesus Christ out of context and twist them to say something that Jesus never said. Well, we see Jesus answer in verse 14. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I do bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from and where I'm going. Jesus reminding them again that he is the ultimate authority on heavenly things. He came from God. He was going back to God. And therefore, even if Jesus was to bear witness himself, it would still be true. Nevertheless, Jesus never bore witness of himself, right? Because he says later that, verse 18, I am the one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. So Jesus Christ, in all of his earthly ministry, never was merely bearing witness to himself. He always had the Father backing up. He always had the Scriptures backing him up and so forth. But this leads us to a question. Like, what is wrong with these Pharisees? What is wrong with these people? Why is it at this stage, and of course this is near the end of Christ's life, at the end of his ministry, and we just see one day after another, one situation after another, the Pharisees are pretty quickly rejecting everything Jesus has to say. It almost doesn't matter what he says, they just judge it as unworthy of their time and attention. What is behind that? And moreover, what is behind when even believers in Jesus Christ reject something that Jesus says? Have you ever seen that? Maybe you've done it yourself, I don't know. Any one of us can be guilty of this. What is the heart of this? And here today we come to the heart of the matter. And it's in verse 15, really part A. Jesus says, you judge according to the flesh. And there we can emphasize you. You judge according to the flesh. And in fact, in the Greek text, it is very emphatic. It could be rightly translated, you people judge according to the flesh. This is the root cause for their rejection of Jesus Christ and his words. And this is the root cause, I would say, of most unbelievers' rejection of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And it is the reason why even some who profess Jesus Christ reject certain doctrines of Jesus or reject certain commands of Jesus. It is that they judge according to the flesh. So three questions to get behind this. Number one. What exactly is judging according to the flesh? I mean, what does that really mean? And number two, what's so wrong with that? I mean, don't we all make decisions according to what we like and don't like, according to what we want and don't want? So what really is wrong with judging according to the flesh? And third, what's the alternative? What else are we supposed to do? I mean, what we have is our flesh. I mean, so what else are we going to do? Number one is, what exactly does this mean to judge according to the flesh? When Jesus says in verse 15, you judge according to the flesh, what is he saying? Well, very simply, judging according to the flesh is judging according to one's own fleshly desires. Quite simple. It's sort of like judging according to one's own will, not according to the Father's will. Judging according to one's own desires, not according to the desires of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not the same as judging according to appearance. Turn back for a moment to John 7:24. You probably recall that in an earlier conversation, Jesus said in verse 24, 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Now, in that context, you recall the Pharisees were just trying to get people to stop listening to Jesus by saying, this man, he doesn't even know letters. He doesn't know Hebrew. He's never studied in any of our schools. How could he possibly know the things that he knows? And they were judging based on external appearance. This, in John 8:15, goes deeper, and it's far worse. Judging according to the flesh, again, is judging according to the desires of one's own flesh. So think about this in the case of the Pharisees. By this time in Christ's life and ministry, what was the desire of their flesh? Do you know? To kill him. They want him gone. They really want Jesus out of their life. You ever been sharing the gospel with somebody and at some point you realize they just want you to shut up? They really just want you to leave? They might even say, look, I just want you to leave. I mean, I said that. I don't know if my wife says I probably didn't say that. But I remember Roy Fry coming to my house, and I just knew what I really wanted was for him to leave. I didn't like him talking to me. I didn't like what he had to tell me. Everything in me was against him continuing to talk to me about Christ and the gospel, and I really didn't understand why. Now I know. I was judging according to the flesh. That's what the Pharisees are doing here. They wanted Jesus gone, but why did they want him gone? Because they hated him. But why did they hate him? Well, in part it was because Jesus kept testifying that their deeds were evil. Back in John 7:7, Jesus said, the world cannot hate you, talking to his brothers, because they didn't believe in him yet. The world can't hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. Well, is that true? Are the deeds of this world evil? Sure. And you don't need any more than one dose of nightly news to give you enough evidence to say, man, this world is evil. The works of this world are terrible. And if you watch 58 years of nightly news, you've got plenty to go on to know that what Jesus is saying is true. But do we like hearing it? Aren't we part of the world? Yeah. So aren't we also guilty of evil deeds? Yes. So the Pharisees here, they've had enough. Because you know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, look, the deeds of this world are evil, and hey, Pharisees, you too. That includes you. But the Pharisees had a reputation to uphold. What was their reputation? We're the righteous ones. We are the righteous. I'm glad I'm not like other people, like that publican over here. I tithe. Right? The Pharisee in Luke 18 recounts his deeds and he's glad he's not like other people. Well, Jesus is saying to all the people, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. So now the Pharisees have heard enough. They've had it with this guy. They are tired of hearing whatever he has to say. They don't stop and say, hey, what do you mean you're the light of the world? What do you mean they aren't interested. They judge Jesus according to the flesh. And according to their flesh, they just want Jesus to go away. That's it. Jesus came from God to testify to the truth. Yes, to the truth concerning God. And yes, to the truth concerning heaven. And yes, to the truth concerning himself. But you know what? He also came to testify to the truth concerning us. And his truth concerning us is that out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and licentiousness, and the list goes on. And all of these things come from within, out of the heart of man, and they defile the man. It's true. And if you judge according to the flesh, for sure you're going to reject that or not like it or try not to hear it. And that was the problem with the Pharisees. They just didn't like this light of the world exposing their sin. They hated Jesus so much that they were trying to figure out a way to kill him. And that desire, the desire of their flesh to be rid of Jesus, was driving everything they did. Do people do that today? Let me ask it this way. Do people follow their heart? Yeah. And that's the wisdom of the world, right? That's what they're teaching in schools. That's what they're telling kids in public school. That's what they're telling kids in universities. Oh, you just need to follow your heart, which makes you sick, right? Just follow your heart. The proverb says that's the way of the fool. Show me one who follows their heart, and I'll show you the way of a fool. So let's talk about what's wrong with this. Question two, what is really wrong with judging according to the flesh? How bad is it? Well, there are a couple of answers to this. Number one, judging according to the flesh is the way of the hypocrite. Anyone and everyone who is religious in any way, and that's everyone, right? Anyone and everyone who is religious in any way, who also judges according to the flesh, is guilty of hypocrisy. See, the Pharisees said that they knew God. They said that they loved God. They said that they served God. And they said that they worshiped God. But when the Son of God came preaching the Word of God, what happened? They hated him. You say, well, how do you explain that? They're judging according to the flesh. They don't like the message or the messenger. Well did Isaiah prophesy of the Pharisees saying, "You hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And Jesus here exposes the heart of all hypocrites. They might honor God with their lips, but if they're judging according to the flesh and not according to the Father, they're hypocrites. Do you think this is a once and done? Look again at verse 15. It could be read this way. You are judging according to the flesh. I am judging no one. In other words, just in this context, limited to only here, do you think Jesus is saying, look, Pharisees, 99.9% of the time you guys are great. 99.9% of the time you're judging with righteous judgment. But in this one instance, I hate to say, right now in this case, you're judging with unrighteous judgment. You're judging according to the flesh. Think that's what he's saying? No. This is a very broad statement. It's, you know, you Pharisees, you people, what you do habitually is you judge things in accordance with your own flesh. In other words, you are driven by your own fleshly desires, but you put a suit and tie on that. Your whitewashed tombs, Vic mentioned that this morning. Pharisees are whitewashed tombs, really look good and clean on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones. Because the Pharisees had become no different than the world around them. So what's wrong with judging according to the flesh? Well, first and foremost, judging according to the flesh is the way of the hypocrite. But second of all, judging according to the flesh, this is the heart of rebellion. It's really the heart that's behind rebellion. Right? I mean, children, Alan reminded us this morning, children don't have to be taught to rebel. It just comes natural. Right? So from age, I don't know, what age, parents? Two? 0, 6 months, I don't know. I mean, pretty early on, you can see that a child rebels. I mean, yeah, what's that, when they're in diapers? Still in diapers? Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So really, from early on, children judge according to the flesh. They want what they want, and they want it right now. And when they don't get what they want right now, they cry and grumble and complain. This is the heart of rebellion. And I'm not going to have you go to Psalm 2, but you remember in Psalm 2, the psalmist says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? The kings set themselves together and all the people rage against the Lord and against his Christ. And what do they say? Let's break their bonds in pieces and let's cast their cords away from us. A word picture for the Word of God. That is a prophecy, of course, of the Jews and the Gentiles rising up against Jesus Christ. Later it's quoted in the book of Acts. Psalm 2 is a picture of rebellion. But at heart, it's a desire to be freed from the rule of God, to be freed from the Word of God, to not have this man to rule over us. Well, what is that a judgment according to? The flesh. Judging according to the flesh is the heart of rebellion. Third, why is this so wrong? And here's where it really hits us, beloved. Listen closely. Judging according to the flesh always results in a rejection of Jesus Christ at some point. At what point? At the point where Jesus is telling you to do something that your flesh doesn't want to do. Now listen, this can happen with believers. I was talking with a woman who was separated from her husband, not in this church, separated from her husband, and she did not want him to come back. They were separated, and she was kind of used to that, and she really didn't want him coming back. And so, I mean, how are you going to justify that? Because he asked for forgiveness, and she didn't want to forgive because she thought, gee, if I forgive, that means I have to take him back. So she actually found an article online that she shared with me, and I shared this, I think, with some of you on a Tuesday night. She found an article that she shared with me on how you don't always have to forgive. It doesn't sound right, does it? She shared the article with me, and it talked about how, well, God requires contrition, God requires confession, God requires repentance. And so she said, until I see, making her the judge, until I see contrition, until I see confession, until I see repentance, kind of like that satisfies me, I am withholding forgiveness. And what I said was, well, dear sister, what do you do with these words of Jesus Christ, Mark 11:25? And whenever, hear how broad that is? Whenever you stand praying, I'm sure it applies to sitting also or kneeling, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything, that's pretty broad, against anyone. Now, those three words, whenever, anything, and anyone, it doesn't get any broader than this, right? Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. That's it. No conditions, no ifs, ands, or buts, no exception clause, nothing. Forgive him so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. And she did not like that. But listen, beloved, any of us could fall into that. To where we're in a situation, we know what Jesus says, we know what the Word of God says, but we judge that according to the desires of our flesh, and if it's not matching the desires of our flesh, guess what? We want to find a way around it, or we want to reject it. I was talking to someone else, and I said, listen, you need to reconcile. And the person said, well, what does reconcile really mean? I said, well, you don't know what reconcile means? Okay, well, reconcile means you need to restore peace. You need to pursue peace and come back to peace in the relationship. And they said, well, what is peace? And I for some reason, in my mind popped that guy who once said, what is the meaning of is? Now, some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you don't. I read something about that, by the way. I looked it up. You know I'm talking about Bill Clinton, right? Bill Clinton tried to defend himself by saying, well, what is the meaning of is? And someone said, this is the lowest form of legal defense, the questioning of the meaning of words that are already well defined. But you know what? We can fall into that, where we just don't really like something that Jesus is saying. And you know what? I can fall into that, judging according to the flesh. And this, you know, you can take me to task afterwards if you think this isn't quite right, because I really had to evaluate this. But I had a fellow pastor say, hey, we have a group of people that's putting together a young adults retreat, people ages 18 to 25. There's going to be at least 150 people there, and we would love for you to come and speak to our group on the subject of evangelism, proclaiming and defending your faith. And I was like, man, that's right up my alley. I looked at my calendar, and I had a backpacking trip planned. And without praying, without even thinking about it, I said, oh, man, you know what? I said, I got a backpacking trip planned. And he goes, oh, man, we were really hoping you would come. And I go, well, I can't, you know, I got a backpacking trip planned. Okay, well. I mean, later I started thinking about it. I was like, man, oh, man, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even pray about that. It was so easy to say no. I mean, after all, I have a backpacking plan. I shared this with another pastor, and he said, so you were choosing to carry a 25-pound bag of stuff up a hill as opposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what you were choosing. Well, by the grace of God, I was convicted that night and the next morning. And the next day, I said, hey, can I call you? Yeah, sure. I said, have you already found somebody else? He goes, no, it's only been 24 hours. I said, would you be willing to reconsider? He goes, are you willing to reconsider? I said, yes, I am. I said, I'd like to talk to my wife. I'd like to pray some about it. I'd like to talk to my fellow elders and give you an answer in a week. He goes, please do. And so I responded saying, I'd do it, and I canceled the backpacking trip. But you know what? Looking at this, I was like, you know what? I think that's what I was doing. Just judging according to the flesh. My flesh wanted to, for some dumb reason, haul a bag of 25 pounds of stuff up some hill. And now I'm like wondering the wisdom of that anytime. It doesn't mean you can't go on vacation. It doesn't mean you can't have fun. But we have to be careful of judging just in accordance with the desires of our flesh. Redefining words. Trying to wiggle out of especially things that Jesus has commanded us to do. Why is it wrong? It's the way of the hypocrite. It's the heart of rebellion. It results in rejection of Jesus Christ at some point. And you know what? Fourth, it is the opposite of following Jesus. What did Jesus say in John 8:12? I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What would be the polar opposite of following Jesus? Just following your own flesh all the time. Remember what Jesus said in another place, Mark 8:34. If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and keep following after me. Now that's not easy, that's not pleasant, but that's the way of following Christ. So third question, well, what's the alternative? What's the alternative to judging according to the flesh? Well, it's to follow Jesus Christ, but from a judging standpoint, I want you to see, and really, this is the good news. Look again at verse 15. Jesus says, you people, you all, youans, you yourselves, or as for you people, you judge according to the flesh. And then what does he say? I judge no one. Now, Jesus, of course, did not mean here, I never judge anyone ever, nor will I. That's not what he meant by this. He meant one of two things, and either way you take it, it's good news. He could mean, in this context, I'm not judging any of you. And he wasn't. Yet. Right? He wasn't judging them yet. And the good news here is that Jesus Christ is patient. He's long-suffering. He's gracious. He's compassionate. I mean, he's still talking to the Pharisees. There is no reason why he should still be talking to them, except for one. It was the desire of the Father. And this is the real alternative to judging according to the flesh. You judge in accordance with what the Father desires. The other way to take this, when Jesus says, I judge no one, it could mean, I don't judge anyone that way. You people judge merely in accordance with the desires of your human flesh. I don't judge anyone merely in accordance with the desires of my human flesh. He says, even if I do judge, verse 16, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone. I am with the Father who sent me. And you remember Jesus said in another place, I always do those things that please the Father. This also is good news for us. Because you know what? We all stumble in many ways. One of the ways that we all stumble is with our tongue. And usually that's, we say stuff that's in accordance with our flesh. We want to give a pound of flesh. Or we want to get a pound of flesh. Or we want to return fire with fire, fight fire with fire. We all stumble in many ways, often with our tongue. We say things that are really just according to the desires of our flesh. Good news, and praise be to God for this. Jesus doesn't judge us that way. He's compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and he only judges in accordance with the will of the Father. And you know what the will of the Father is? To save. Right? 1 Timothy 2:4. Who desires, speaking of God the Father, who desires that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus Christ, even here in this context and all throughout his life and ministry, Jesus judges in accordance with the desires of God the Father. That's the alternative to us judging according to the flesh, is to think, Father, what would you have me to do? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We all know about the Jeopardy thing, right? You know about the Jeopardy thing? Oh, yeah. I guess 2 weeks ago, I heard it made big news. 2 weeks ago, the question on Jeopardy to all three contestants, and man, they were burning through, you know, history of ancient Rome and burning through all these other questions. And then it came up and it said, and I forget, you know, prayers for 200. I don't know what the category was. I doubt it was prayers. And it said, Our Father who art in heaven, blank be thy name. No buzzers. No buzzers. That's wild. Nobody knew hallowed, which means may your name be set apart. May your name be sanctified. May your name be hallowed. Anyways, we're answering the question, what is the alternative to judging according to the flesh? It's to judge in accordance with the desires of God the Father. Thy will be done, right? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the alternative. Well, turn over to Galatians 5 in closing. I want you to see this because it's not like we don't have help here. Galatians chapter 5, you probably know the verse. Galatians 5:16. Here's another way of looking at the alternative to judging according to the flesh. The Apostle Paul writes to the churches of Galatia in Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk, and it really should be, walk according to the Spirit, and here's a promise, and you will not fulfill the lusts or desires of the flesh. Explanation, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. This is even true of believers today. The flesh lusts against the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lusts against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, with the result that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, Jesus Christ in John 8:12 presented the gospel to us in terms of light and dark. Here, he presents the gospel in terms of spirit and flesh. And he says, walk by the Spirit. That's the same thing as Jesus saying, follow me. Different terms. Walk by the Spirit. Live out your day-to-day life in accordance with the desires of the Holy Spirit. And, notice the promise, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's a promise, beloved. That's a gospel promise. And Paul goes on to explain how this works, not denying the fact that this is a battle, verse 17, for the flesh. That is your human flesh, okay? Your flesh has desires that are against the desires of the Holy Spirit. And that's just a fact. That's just being honest. And this Holy Spirit has the desires, or strong lusts, that are against the desires of your flesh. And these desires are contrary to one another. But then the last line is once again good news. So that you do not do the things that you wish. This is revealing the end goal of the Holy Spirit's work inside of you. It literally reads this way. The last line in verse 17 reads like this. In order that you would not keep on doing the things that you will to do in accordance with the flesh. I'll say that again. In order that you not keep doing the things that you will to do in accordance with the flesh, what does the Spirit do inside you? He wills against the desires of your flesh. In another place it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. So what is the Spirit of God teaching us this morning? Well, the Spirit of God is showing us the response of the Pharisees to the words of Jesus Christ. And obviously, it's rejection. What is the heart behind that? They are judging according to the flesh. All they're thinking about is their own fleshly desires. And what I'm telling you, beloved, is that is the heart of hypocrisy. That's the heart of rebellion. That is the opposite of following Jesus Christ. It really is the opposite of faith. If you look at all the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and what all they did by faith, they weren't following the desires of their own flesh. You know, Abraham went out to some other country. That wasn't according to the desires of his flesh. Moses leaves Egypt and counts the reproach of Jesus Christ greater reward. That's not according to the desires of the flesh. You keep following through, and in each case, you find the heroes of the faith, the fathers of the faith, were doing things that were contrary to the desires of their sinful flesh. And so, listen, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you see him as your ultimate authority? Is he your light? Just keep following him. Just keep following him. Keep seeking to know what is pleasing to Christ, what is pleasing to the Father, and decide day by day, decision by decision, in accordance with what's pleasing to Jesus Christ. That's it. Trust that what he says is true. Trust that what he commands is right, regardless of what your flesh wants. And follow, submit to Jesus Christ. Don't lean on your own understanding. Do you not believe in Jesus Christ? Maybe you're here today and you don't believe. Do you know why that is? You're judging according to the flesh. You don't want to follow Christ. And that's going to cost you something. You'd probably lose some friends. I mean, you'd maybe have to go to church, read the Bible, be one of those born-again people. Well, let me tell you. Once you become one of those born-again people that goes to church, you're glad that you are. And it's all by the grace of God. And you want to come to church. Yeah, there's times when you maybe don't want to. It's not like you're never going to succumb again. But when we sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. Listen, there is good news for everyone who's a believer in Jesus Christ, even when we sin. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I have good news for you. Today is the day. Today is the day when God says to you, come to Christ. Come to Christ today and be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the times when your Holy Spirit convicts us in areas where we go astray. And we thank you that you correct us and you continue to do your work in our hearts. Father, we confess to you that we sin, and some of us perhaps have sinned just this week in judging things according to the flesh. Forgive us, Father. Thank you for your grace and your patience. We receive your grace with thanksgiving. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is now, therefore, no condemnation for us who are in him. And Father, if there's anyone here today who does not have Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, or the gift of the Holy Spirit, we pray, may today be the day of salvation for that one who is here today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.